If you can remain standing as you're able for our scripture reading, we're going to be continuing in Ephesians chapter 6 and moving through verse 10 through verse 14 today, talking about the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. I've worked a lot of different jobs in my life. I had a paper route. I was a cashier at a golf course. I worked the overnight desk at a hotel. I was a forklift driver. I was an after-school director. I was a PE teacher. I was a French teacher, which is really weird because I don't speak French all that well. Let's see, what are some other things I've done? I've been a chaplain, I've been a youth minister, I've been a children's director, and now I'm a pastor. It's kind of a windy route, but I got here pretty much unscathed, right? Now each of those jobs have kind of had their good moments and their bad moments. But one particular job, I just couldn't stand. I mean, it was just every day was a grind, just kind of getting through it. I'm not talking about this job, so let me just say that up front. But have you ever had that job where your heart wasn't in it, and it was just showing up and just kind of picking up a check? So working overnight at a hotel front desk was that job for me. Does anybody in here work at a hotel? Okay, good. So I can badmouth it. Man, it was terrible. And it was actually really funny was it really wasn't that bad, but just it was terrible for me. It was just something about it. Like, I just couldn't get into it. I mean, it was hard for me to kind of care and see the value of what I was doing. And I was just showing up. I was pushing buttons. I was answering phones and just doing what I needed to do. But I wasn't going an extra mile. I wasn't trying to help out with anything that was outside of my lane. I showed up. I stood where I was supposed to stand, did what I was supposed to do, pick up my check, and go home. And I was miserable. I mean, like I said, it was just a grind. It was just day after day, just kind of opening up my eyes, just laying there thinking, man, I've got to turn around and do this all over again. And this might sound like a really cush job to some of y'all, and it really was. And that's kind of what my point is there was really nothing wrong with the job. It was actually a really good paying job. It was right around the corner from my apartment. It had great benefits, like I got discounts on different hotel chains, and so I could take trips and stuff like that. The people were fine. I mean, it didn't get that many people get on to me. I have more people yell at me at this job than at that job. But there was just something about it that I just couldn't get my heart into it. I just kind of hardened against it. Didn't really want to make friends. Didn't really want to do a good job. I just really just kind of wanted to just kind of come in, do my job, and just leave. And I think we've all had moments like that. Whether we have a job like that or a relationship like that or experience where just our heart's not in it. Whether it's a game that we're playing into or whether it's an activity or a task that we have to do. We just can't pour ourselves into it as much as maybe we need to. Now, there's other phrases for this. There's other words for this. Just going through the motions. Just phoning it in. Those might be a little bit more familiar for us. And in some ways, that's a perfectly fine strategy for a job or a relationship if you want to kill it. If you want to have no pleasure or no life in what you're doing, just go through the motions. Just phone it in. And eventually what you're doing will wither and crumble and blow away. In our scripture reading this morning, we read about this breastplate of righteousness. And I think there's something incredible that goes into this. Because when you really think about it, the way that we value our hearts above anything else, and not just our physical hearts, but our heart of what we pour into something, in relationships, into our jobs, into the task, how much we invest ourselves into what is laying ahead of us, and how much we are willing to put ourselves on the line to see that it gets done, is so critical. And I think God sees that it's critical as well. And so in this piece of armor, he equips us with something to protect it. Now, the problem is God knows that we're going to come up against obstacles. God knows that we're going to have these fiery darts from the enemy. We're going to have rage and anger and disappointment and frustration. We're going to have these attacks coming from every way. And so he gives us this armor to protect us. Now our strategy is a little bit different than God's. You see, our strategy is when we're vulnerable and we get hurt, or we get injured, or we're going through obstacles that ask too much of us, we harden our hearts. We kind of bring them back. We kind of stiffen them up. We kind of harden them. And what that means is we don't let anything that somebody says hurt us anymore. But it also means that nothing can get out. That we make it more difficult to show others how we feel, to share with others how much we feel. And we protect ourselves by hardening our hearts. So you see the difference in the way that we protect our hearts and the way God protects our hearts. Because God gives us this breastplate of righteousness. And it's important to think about what righteousness is, because righteousness, when God protects our hearts, he doesn't do it with steel or stone. He does it with righteousness. And righteousness is an action. Righteousness is seeing the things that need to be done in this world and then doing them. Righteousness is not a spectator sport. It is not something that you're on the sidelines and just hope that life is going to get better. Righteousness is not something that you simply stand by and wait for God to do for you. Righteousness is something that we see and then we do. And God covers us with that, which means that God expects something from us. God expects us to move into what can potentially be harmful, what can potentially be vulnerable for us, what could potentially mean that there is relationships and opportunities that are going to frustrate us and disappoint us, but instead to keep us from hardening our hearts, God is going to harden our chest and to help us to move forward into this hope, into this future of what he is doing for our lives. And the other thing to note about our scripture is that this breastplate of righteousness is paired with one other thing. And we're not going to talk about it a whole lot today, but just mention it this one time. The belt of truth. And I think it's so important to remember that this truth-telling, that this belt of truth that sort of girds up everything that's going on in this armor, is highlighted with this breastplate of righteousness. Because to know the quality of our hearts and be willing to know the vulnerabilities that we're moving into and to still pour out life and hope for others requires a little bit of truth-telling. It requires us to be honest with ourselves and honest with each other. Because the truth is, that job that I had at the hotel so many years ago, I was miserable. But it wasn't the job's fault. In fact, what was going on at that point in my life was a really unique moment. The job that I had had prior to this hotel was I was a youth pastor at a small church. And it ended up coming to a point where I decided that I was going to resign that job and I was going to step out of ministry and I was going to be done with the church. I was tired with working in churches. I was tired of listening to all the complaints and frustrations that I was having to bear. And I was done. I was done with ministry. I was going to go. I was going to get a job where I didn't have to help anybody. I didn't have to listen to anybody. I could just come in. I could just get a check. I could go home. So the point of my life that I was going through had nothing to do with the job that I was in at that point, but it had to do with I was hardening my hearts to everything that God was actually, in fact, calling me to do. That the very things that I felt were pushing me out of ministry was the very things that I was missing in this new job. The fact that I felt like I didn't have any value in somebody's life. The fact that I felt like I wasn't truly helping people as much as I could. And the way that I hardened my heart made it to where it was so much harder to be able to even show compassion, to show love, to even to be able to have a relationship anymore, because I was just dark and I was lonely and I was angry and I was frustrated. And what that job became in that moment was a metaphor of where I was going through in my life. And it came to a point that I just couldn't do it anymore. And I walked into the manager's office and I said, I got to give you my notice. I don't think I want to come back. He said, that's fine. Just turn in your t-shirt. So I turned in my t-shirt. He wasn't mad. I wasn't sad. And we just went our separate ways. But I had a choice that I had to come to in my life to decide what was the things that God was calling me to do that had hurt me so much. And was I willing to put on some kind of armor that was going to help me take one more step into that battle that I never wanted to take again? And that one step ended up changing my life. And it changed the direction of my life. I started looking into, well, how can I help people but not be in churches? So I started working in schools. I started helping out in the community, and I started trying to find all these different ways that I could help people without having to be in church. Until eventually God was like, you know I'm going to get you back in church, right? And I started seeing that God had a path for me, but that I wasn't alone in walking it. That God was equipping me and moving me into a new hope and a new future and a new day. So what does any of this have to do with stewardship? Well, the fact of the matter is you are the heart of this church. You are the heart of the ministry that happens at this church and in this community. You are the heart that somebody else in this world needs to know that they are not alone, to know that they are loved, to know that somebody is with them, to be able to walk and to take that next step that is so difficult to take when we are on our own. There is no pastor, there is no church, there is no denomination that can help you take that step by yourself. But you are the way that ministry happens. And you are the way that the very heart of God gets taken into the heart of this world. In a tremendous and a powerful way. In such a way that God has agreed to protect you and to clothe you and to send others with you that we might do this work together. The last couple months have been tremendously difficult for me in ministry. Probably some of the hardest months that I've ever spent. Some of the meetings that we've had to sit through, some of the things that we've had to listen to it's just been difficult. It's been hard. And a lot of difficult decisions come to the table of saying, how do we do ministry in a changing community, in a changing social landscape, and what is God still calling for us to do as a church here at Alabaster? And when you ask tough questions, you end up having tough talks. And those tough talks, they take a toll. And I'd come to a point where I was starting to get a little frustrated. I was starting to get a little anxious, a little stressed. And so I was starting to take a step back and asking God to show me something that would encourage me to begin taking steps forward again. And out of these very same meetings that I was sitting in, there was another leader in our church that was sitting through them. And as I was coming out of these meetings feeling frustrated, feeling disappointed, feeling stressed, man, she was coming out of these meetings feeling pumped up, feeling inspired, feeling ready to kind of jump in the game. And where I was seeing programs that hadn't worked out and trying to think about ways to do them, she was seeing ways that we can try something different now. And new and innovative ways that we can start reaching out and starting to help families, that we can start reaching into the community and building deeper relationships. And that excitement that she started to show began to lift me up, and it began to inspire me. Because the thing is when I had started thinking, man, I need to take a step out of the game and kind of relax and collect my thoughts, she was itching and jumping to wanting to get in it, wanting to jump in and start taking the lead and really kind of start seeing some incredible things happen. And that's why we do this work together. That's why we do it as a church. That's why we do it as a community, so that when there's a time that we feel like we've reached the end of our rope and we need to take a step back, that there's somebody else that says, I've got your back. Let me take it for a little while. And we can begin to help and support and encourage each other. Now, this leader was Liz Walker. And she's going to be the next lay leader of the church. And why we feel like God has been calling her into this ministry is because of what we have seen God pouring out of her life. Some excitement. Some ideas about what our church can be doing in the community, what we can be doing to build each other up here, that we might begin to build the kingdom of God in Alabaster. And what's even more exciting for me is that y'all are going to get a chance to hear from her. So she is going to be preaching next Sunday, and she's going to be sharing a vision and a word that God has given her, and an excitement about what being a part of this church looks like, and what it looks like for us to begin to start to get into the game. You don't need to hear just from us pastors, but from the leaders of the church, of how we plan to begin to move into the future and the excitement and the life that God is growing into this church. I'm excited about it. I'm excited for y'all. I'm excited to have a Sunday off. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. But as we hear about what God is doing in our lives, we're reminded of the fact that you are the very heart of this church and the very heart of this community. And somebody needs that heart. Will you pray with me? Almighty and precious God, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for the way that you shower us with your grace and your mercy. Lord, the way that you protect our hearts and our lives, that we might move into this life to be able to continue to pour out your life and your story and your heart for this world. Lord, as we close out in worship, we ask and pray that you go with us and that you prepare us and equip us and dress us with the very armor that you've given us, that we might go into this world to be signs of hope and of joy. Lord, allow us to soften our hearts that we might pour them out for others and that they might experience your life and your grace. As we do this in Jesus' name, amen.